They're special, they're anointed now, but they're recognized through this scriptural preceding work. I want you to know something today. How many in here believe in and confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Just say something with me. I've got a calling.
I've got a calling.
Oh, come on, say it like you mean.
He said, here I am. I wasn't even expecting.
inspector, I said, put my hands, and he said, when we got done, he said, my wife had a tremendous drop in pain, almost all the way to nothing, but he said, and then he started joking up, he said, but my issue that they haven't been able to figure out, he said, it's been gone ever since we spoke. The last thing, if somebody believes in God for great things, that's why we're dealing with this issue of faith. The last thing that I want to hear is, wow, Pastor Lou, that's awesome. You're so anointed. Stop that nonsense. If you know Jesus and you've confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, I got news for you today. I don't know if your brain is caught up or if it's a lack of understanding. That's why we preach. It's through the foolishness of preaching. Let me tell you something. Here's the truth. You are anointed.
Yes.
Have you ever heard this one, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, your girl walks, what do you say about Jesus? And they'll name some great minister's name across the country if it's on TV. Somebody says something, Scripture says, touch not God's anointed. They take an Old Testament scripture and they apply it in the new covenant. And people live under this bondage. So I'm super anointed and you're so anointed because I'm. It's nonsense. That's Old Testament. Here's what Scripture declares. You are God's anointed. We together, as His body, stand and live. In fact, the Holy Spirit speaking through John says, you have an unction. That is another word being gained for anointing from the Holy One. I want you to hear some things today. And you know more than you think you do. A whole lot more. Are you here today?
Yes.
Say, I'm anointed. Some of you have a hard time getting that out. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I didn't ask you how well you've lived it last week. I didn't ask you about your behavior. I didn't ask you about your lifestyle. I didn't ask you about any of those things. Do those things have a part? Yeah, but they're a product, not a how to get there. They're a product. We're going to talk about that. This morning, if you know Jesus, here is the truth. I'm anointed.
Yes.
Three, if you agree with that. Say it out loud. We all like our heroes. Because then we can attribute all the responsibility along with the exploits, big on the responsibility, to them.
Yes, amen.
Jesus is my hero.
Yes.
Right here today. And He lives in me. And it makes me quit hero worship. And start worshiping the one who lives on the inside of you and declare what He told you to. Come on, are you here today? I'm here to do great things for God. So we've got to talk about this topic of faith. Scripture tells us more than once, the just shall live by faith. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. How many of you enjoyed our topic on faith?
Yes.
The faith of a child. We were reminiscing at the house yesterday, talking about the great things that God does for those who believe. Amber, we just got to just sharing around the living room. And I said, I've got to remember some of these. You guys got to write these down. Some of these we've forgotten. And she was talking about how when she was in Brazil, down there with Guayam, there was a beautiful park right near where they were staying that she would go to daily.
Sydney,
that's right, I have a story for you. Sydney, when she was in Australia, world traveler. There was a beautiful park there where she stayed, where she lived, that she would go to every day. And feel free to straighten me out so we keep this legit. But she would go to a beautiful little park, very safe area. And one day, as was her custom, she went, made her way down, and in her, she felt very disturbed. Did you actually go, and you were sitting there? Reading or something, and she suddenly felt a real agitation and a concern and a strong urge. I got to get up and I've got to get out of here. It was not logical. It didn't make any sense. I got to go. See, when you're confident that the Lord is with you, when you're confident of His love for you, when you're confident that your steps are being ordered of the Lord, when you're like a child, you're just saying, "I trust you."
Yes.
She said, "You know, I've got to get up and go." There was nothing to be seen or anything going on at all, even in the time it was there. She got up and went back to her room. The rest of the story is they found out that day two men involved with
ISIS
had been commissioned to go and kidnap and kill Caucasian white women. Okay, so Caucasian white women. Go ahead.
They were just
going to
target anybody who was Caucasian.
White.
Blonde hair.
They
were going to just shoot at random.
Shoot them at random. They wound up.
They were in that area.
And they what?
I said they got caught before. I found out later they got caught.
They got caught there in Sydney, and they're in Sydney, and they were right there in that area where she was living. And she had no idea of this. So look at me today. I'm anointed. I know what I need to know. So then that led from that story to Jackie sharing the time that I forgot she had was at the time working for Tree of Life Ministries. And had quite a bit of cash. How much?
Like
$700. $700 in cash and a bunch of important papers from Tree of Life Ministries in Honduras at the time. This is in Florida, where we lived for some time. And I don't remember exactly how it happened, but in the process of moving from one place to another, her purse with all of this information, along with all her personal stuff, was stolen.
Stolen at church.
Was stolen. And immediately, the people that were there, if you knew they were simple, childlike faith, said, "Let's pray." Is that your first reaction? Could be. Let's pray. And let's pray that God will convict that individual, whoever they are, that wherever what's going on, that they will repent, and that will bother them so much that they'll bring the purse back. Now, I remember going back at the time of that prayer, "Almighty man of faith and power, you know, specially anointed." I said, "That's such a sweet prayer." Hope it happens. Let me teach you about faith. Aren't you glad for the word? I'm not preaching lead. I'm preaching the word. Put it to work and work in your life. But there's ways that God designed for it to work. It has very little, if nothing, to do with do, and everything to do with believe. Which produces something else we'll talk about in a minute. So, at any rate, guess what happened? How long did it take?
Called the police, reported it.
Came
home, and then the next day.
The next day.
During office hours.
How old was the young man?
This young man brought it back to the office, said he had taken the purse and gone home and threw it in his closet and slammed the door because it was bothering him so bad he couldn't sleep all night.
Stole the purse, threw it home, threw it in the closet, slammed the door shut. In a closet, and it was bothering her so much.
He brought it back and said, "I can't keep this purse."
He brought it back, "I cannot keep this purse."
He had been a thief in the area and had stolen many things.
He had been a thief in the area and stolen a lot of many things. And then that bringing back her purse was set up everything in fact. My little baby girl, Rebecca. Where's the other guy?
He's right here.
Bruce, stand up. Show us the other guy. I'm so glad you took more after Rebecca.
that is his daddy's son, let me tell you, that is pretty awesome. At any rate, Rebecca, when she's just a little thing, she had in her heart the desire to send her. She says, Mom and Dad, I feel that somebody in Honduras needs a bicycle, and I feel led to give my bicycle. We had a number of trips going back and forth and stuff that was going on. Gave my bicycle to the mission in Honduras. What she didn't know on the other end, beautiful stories, there was a little girl that was getting a hold of this stuff in her family, and she had been praying for and believing God and standing in faith for a bicycle, and her bicycle wound up with that young lady. Beautiful story. But as a result of that, we ended up getting her a new bike for Christmas birthday. I don't remember, maybe just because I don't remember. But we ended up getting her a new bike. Well, in a short amount of time, her bike was stolen. And her, how old were you then?
First or second grade.
First or second grade?
Eight.
She said, I know that God's going to bring my bicycle back. And I'm thinking, oh, geez. The gracious kid to believe and to stand in faith. And she's heard all these stories, but this is too big for God.
Great power through fear, a very weak link. I'm here to tell you today that if you'll receive the goodness of God, if you'll realize that the just shall live by faith, the spirit of faith eradicates fear. Perfect love, John said, told us by the Holy Ghost, casts out all fear. So here's Mr. Summerall. After he realized what had happened, I don't know what state of sleep he was, but he realized what had happened, and he said, something came over me, and said, I went over to where the window was at, and I don't know if he threw up the window, it was already open, the other thing probably was open, but at any rate, he yelled and he said, hey, devil! Get back in here now! He said, he tells them a rather dramatic re-entrance of that spirit into his room, and he said, now, when I got in bed, my bed was over there. You put it back now. He got in bed, and it shook all the way over back to where it was. He says, now leave. And it left. You and I have not realized the power. Listen, people, not telling stories and hyping me up. I'm trying to get you to realize we, in the name of building churches and congregations and being so careful about, you know, stroking the sensibilities of the masses, where we're in danger of losing the fact that this gospel of power is a balm of Gilead to those who are hurting and looking and needing healing and truth. But it is an affront and an offense to most.
Yep.
Let's stand for what's right. Let's stand up and begin to be bold in what we believe and who we proclaim. Are you here today?
Yes.
Paul tells young Timothy, where'd my Bible go? Here it is. The faith of a child. I'm laying on a concrete floor. Just got smashed into a cinder block wall with a piece of machinery. Compound fracture. Come up this leg right here. Compound fracture complete. Out through the inside of my leg. Severed the main artery and the main vein. It's all documented. Go ahead. How about it, baby? Main artery and main vein as big as your thumb. Femoral artery. Ask those who work in the medical field that are in here today, like Dean and Mike and others. They know what that means. Tina, if your main artery is severed, how quick do you die?
Pretty quick.
How quick?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Main artery severed.
Yeah. Huh? Lots of factors. A couple minutes if you don't.
It's a lot. Right. So, four completely severed. They say to this day that they don't understand why I'm alive. Now, the rest of the story is really going to why I have a leg. And that's true. But they don't know why I'm alive. I was told blue 3 times away to the hospital. Didn't come around for almost 3 days. And when I did, buddy, I hurled from here to the wall. It was an awful, awful, awful thing. But when it happened, my wife happened to stop by during that time and was there present. And she saw it take place. And do you know what came out of her mouth? She began to speak in other tongues. Hysteria? It shouldn't. Jesus said, my joy is this. I gotta get out of here. It's expedient for me to leave so that I can send the Holy Ghost. The Comforter, the one who will teach you and lead you into all truth. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. And he delineated what took place and what continued through the book of Acts. Paul talks about the power of this thing called tongues. If you've been around here for a while, you know we're not swinging off the chandeliers and acting crazy, interrupting the services. Maybe we should more. I don't know. I wanted to swing on the chandeliers almost the week before last. So I wanted a chandelier to swing on. But listen, I understand all the weirdness and why people are scared off. But listen, it's intimidated us to go skulk in the corner with our tail between our legs, ashamed of the very gospel that we say we proclaim. My wife began to jump up and down. In my marriage, the only thing I remember clawing my way away from pain, not realizing how bad it was, a guy who worked on that
between jobs, getting ready to go to another ranch, and was toughing out in another business. And one of those kids, a ranch kid who had been an EMT, ran to where I was at, saw what had happened, and he dove bodily on top of me, big kid, about 6'4", to get me to stop moving to keep from happening what had already happened, the severing of the arteries and the veins. Don't want to talk, he didn't know what had begun. The one thing I can still remember to this day is a little blonde dancing up and down, praying in other tongues, and going, Jesus! 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 Right. To this day, they don't know why. Let me tell you something, there's power in the name of Jesus. Yes. You know what? Some of you, we're going to look at this as we have time. Not we have next week. I'm learning. I'm fine, people. Some of us had a hold of this faith thing a while back. And boy, I think like a child, we saw some cool things. People and doctrine and intimidation and a new way of whatever, whatever, whatever. We've rationalized and we've messed around until now. It's almost like a distant memory. I'm challenging you. Stirring you by the Holy Ghost. The just. Can you sit with me this morning? The just shall live. Better believe it. We've been called a grace church. I think that's a compliment. We've been called a hyper grace church. I call that a compliment.
Yes.
They better read their Bibles because Romans 5 in the original Greek actually the interpretation of the only way they knew how to state it, I believe it's in verse 17 and others, is hyper grace.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I don't have to ever again doubt his love for me. For he has said, Hebrews 13:5, I will, this is God is speaking to you right now, through me to you, this is his word, I'm just repeating what he said. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear, and he quotes David, what man can do. I'm glad for Jesus today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Do I have it all together in a bag of chips? Absolutely not. Does everybody I pray for? Do you have a supernatural thing like that happen? More new than ever before? I don't pretend to understand all the variables and dynamics. I know the other person's faith has a lot to do with it. There are some things as we move through this topic of faith that I'll attempt to explain and teach by the Holy Spirit. There are limits, not of faith and the God kind of faith, but there's limits in how we can use it. For example, I can't make your faith work for you. There are a lot of people trying to let their faith cause other people to change. And there are some limits there. Now, when the gifts of the Spirit come into play, I've seen and been involved in cases where the person doesn't seem to have any faith at all, but God just, the word was spoken, things happen. That is a specialized, I don't want to make this more confusing than it should be. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, somebody's been around with us, there's a little bit of a different dynamic, but still the same loving Father, the same Jesus, demonstrating who he is and his will and purpose. But let me tell you something. Every one of us have great faith on the inside of us from when we were born again. Are you here today?
Yeah.
And we can stand and believe God for great and mighty things. But there's ways that it works. So there are some limits, and there's no limit on God. Don't limit God. Brother Andrew Walker wrote a book recently, fairly recently, Don't Limit God. And I'm saying there's a limit on absolutely not. Believe God big. But I'm saying you don't have ownership over other people's wills.
You don't have, there's certain things. You can't go and claim somebody for your wife. You can't go out in the parking lot and claim somebody else's vehicle. The Bible calls that covetousness. That's what I mean by limits. But John said, this is the confidence, 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything of Him, we know, everybody say with me, know, that He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, that's an important factor to say. We know that He hears us, and we know that we have already the things that we desire of Him. I want to serve you today. I want to reintroduce this thing of faith. Yes, we've been accused of being a grace church, but as I've said for the past month, and I want to say it again, some of us have let grace become a comfortable bubble bath that is just all about how much He loves me, and you have lost the purpose. Some of us need to get out of the bubble bath. Don't leave grace. I live in there every day. It's a continual washing. We talk about them Bible study. But stand up, pow off, I'm saying, you understand? And get something done for God. This great grace empowers you with confidence to do something for the kingdom of God, to do something in your life. The world's desperately looking for somebody who is not hypocritical in their faith. Y'all look quiet on me. Can I say something? We're all so, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Notice what he said. You don't just sit there on your hands passively. Lay hold. Faith is how we lay hold of that which is ours because of eternal life. John says, by this you know that you have eternal life, that you have believed. This Jesus has come in the flesh. John 3:16 declared, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not go to hell, but have eternal life. If you're born again in here today, you can say with me, I have right now, currently, eternal life living on the inside of me. And Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. How many know that this thing of faith is going to require a fight? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. That means that there's going to be an exercise in believing. Not doing. Believing. When everything's backwards, believing. Lay hold on this which is already on the inside of you. Lay hold on it by faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art, I'm bringing out the King James, thou art also called. You're called. Say, I'm called. All right. And has professed. The word here is homologio in the Greek. Once again, it means to confess. Or that is to say, to be in agreement with the same thing God says. This is what he's telling young Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto you are called. And you have confessed a good confession before many witnesses. He wasn't quiet about it. He was letting what God's word said to him be voiced. Are you with me? Fighting the good fight of faith. Now, a good fight. I know this is cliche, but how many know what a good fight is? Well, the one, if I watch a fight and the guy that I'm rooting for wins, I say, man, that was a good fight. If I'm the one in the fight and I win, that's a good fight. If I lose, I can be spiritual and try to, you know, whatever, but to me it's not a good fight if I lost. I'm not a good fight if I can win. And then, okay? Fight the good fight of faith. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 11. A lot of people think that this is pagan. Chapter 11. It's not. Pagan didn't write these words. Jesus wrote these words. Mark chapter 11.
talking, and his word is eternal, and he's still talking to you and telling you how this stuff works. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, he says, have faith in God. Of course, most of you by now have heard the translation, more close to the Greek, have the faith of God. He says, verily, how many know when Jesus says verily, surely, it's a sure deal. Sure shooting. He says, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, regardless of what you think of Brother Hagin, and I don't agree with everything that he taught or preached, but one thing I love about his testimony is that the Lord spoke to him and he said, don't tell my people faith. And he did it on the basis of a 17-year-old man who was dying from a blood disorder and a malformed heart, no hope to live. And God began to open up the Word of God and show him the power of the spoken Word. And he walked out of that situation healed completely. Lived well up into his 80s and has blessed the body of Christ. I can tell you today that because of the word of faith, and you go online and you see word of faith, the word of faith message, or the word of faith group, or the word of faith crowd, or the word of faith mantra has fallen under a lot of scrutiny and criticism because there are a lot of people that claim to be word of faith that have really gotten weird. But it does not change what Jesus said. I've said it for 3 weeks and I'm going to say it again today. Don't throw the baby out with the bath water. The just shall live by faith, and God is clear on how faith works. And some of you have been intimidated that I'm going to stir by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. But I mean, I pray that boldness and a, oh yeah, I remember that. Where'd I let it go? Listen to what he says. Surely I tell you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be not removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have. Don't look at me like that. Jesus is talking. Take it up with him. This hasn't changed. I don't care how much controversy there is around this word. This is Jesus talking to you and I. And he's saying, what comes out of your mouth? Now somebody quit looking at me that way, you're hiding somebody else's head. There you go. Shall not doubt his heart, shall believe those things he says, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. That's either completely crazy, and we just may as well hang it up and go become Mormons. Or truth from the Son of God, without beginning and without end, Alpha and Omega, the eternal King, the victor of our salvation, has spoken and said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I know I'm opening up a can of worms. Let's open it up. Let's scatter it everywhere. Why are we afraid of that? Let them hit the wall. It's his word. I'm glad for Jesus today.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's good news. Now, how do we figure it out? Now look at the next part of that. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Between speaking to your mountain. How many got a mountain in your life right now? Come on, help me out. between speaking to your mountain, believing that you receive when nothing appears to have changed. I don't have the time to go there because I got some things I want to say before we dismiss. Jesus cursed a fig tree and nothing happened on the surface. Peter, the following day, funny, he didn't have a word to say about it the day before. Because they were all probably going, said, Lord, the fig tree which you cursed, and he makes, like Peter does, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Son of the living God. Simon of Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. God just talked through his book. In this place, same thing. From the toes. For it is, how did he know? He didn't know that. For he said, it is dried from the roots up. And speaking to sowing and reaping and giving, Paul tells us, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you will reap. Hang on. Another place, Peter talks about girding up. I don't have time to deal with this today. We'll deal with it later. Girding up the loins of your mind without being crass and edgy. The place of production in your life needs to be pulled together and submitted to God's word. For he called us to produce. His joy is that we produce much fruit. How many love that concept? How many want to just bless him back and bless others because of how he's blessed us? Say with me then this morning, the just shall live by faith. So between talking to a mountain and receiving as a done deal, when it doesn't look like anything's happened yet, and then standing in the completion of that truth, there's going to be a fight. And the devil does not want you to win. So Paul tells young Timothy, fight. Lay hold. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You guys doing okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to pass 2 more hours. Want to order pizza and keep going?
Yes.
Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, our key scripture, theme scripture for what we've been talking about. And we'll go as long as the Lord leads us to do this. We might be here next year talking about faith. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, let's all read this together, doesn't matter your translation, let's read it out loud together. Shall we? I'm going to read out the King James. Ready? Go. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We have it the same spirit of faith. If you've been with us, we talked about Caleb and Joshua in Numbers, 2 of 12 spies who came back with a good report. And the Bible says of Caleb that he had a different spirit. We are more than able to take what God has promised. We're going to get into that. There's more here than just that. I don't know if we've got time today. We probably don't. We have the same spirit of faith according, this is the biggest, most important, this here's the kicker for this word, according as it is written. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe. This is a quote from Psalms 116 where David says, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. He says, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Wow. Back up in this same chapter to verse 6, where it says that God commanded light, to shine out of darkness. What's that do to logic? Commanded light to shine out of darkness. The Bible says that the worlds were framed. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. I am in the bad habit of quoting. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word, by the word, by the word, by the word, reference stuck of his power. When he had himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. Wow. How do I pull this together? Let me leave this phrase with you. God never spoke what he saw. Brother Joseph Prince talking about this is hilarious. He says God didn't come in that scene and go, wow, it sure is dark in here. He says, then it got really dark. Man, it's even darker. And then it got even darker. He said, that's not what God did. How many see yourself in that picture?
Yeah.
Boys, suffering. You're calling me the way this old world is going. Even some comfort, good old peace. Boy, we need to get out of here. Leave all these fools to their own stuff. We need to go. You're called to plant seed and love and occupy until they come. Yes, you're going to be another 1,000 years. We don't know how long this is going to be.
That's right.
All these people, God bless their dear hearts, have sold book after book and told you the same stuff for year after year. It's been wrong multiple times, and you still are swallowing their garbage and buying their books. I love Brother Van Der Beek. I've got his prophecy Bible, but how many times does he have to be wrong before people say, I can't fund that anymore. I better fund something that's happening, that's preaching Jesus and not putting so much emphasis on, it's all coming to an end. He's just one of many. I love him. I'm not cursing. I'm blessing him. Listen, people, come on. This is where we live. We sit here going, wow. I knew we were wrong 10 years ago, but that's really, I mean, stop interpreting the Bible through current events. Interpret the Bible from the Bible.
Yes.
And do what he told us to do. Come on, people. We've got to grow up in some of these areas. It's not all doomsday. God saw darkness, and guess what he did? He said, let there be light. And he spoke. Here's what the Word of God said. God never spoke what he saw. He spoke what he believed. And then he saw what he believed. That's Bible. Speak. Open your mouth and speak boldly what it's not so for you. Open your mouth and speak the truth.
Amen.
What you believe in this context is based on a contract from God called the Word of God. When things go wrong, don't ask. This is where a lot of us live. Man, I wish I had more time. I spent a lot of time telling stories. Please, please don't miss next week, because we're going to get more than the meat of this thing. Not going to just be the same old faith mantra. I believe some of you are going to get catch some traction for the first time in 15, 20 years. And start going, man, we're holy moly. I didn't know it looked like that out here. Been in a ditch that deep and didn't even know it.
It's working. I had all your Jesus just by. Keep on.
I believe it. I'm confessing. I believe it. I believe it. No, you're not. No, you're not. Nor am I. Somewhere we've got to see these truths. When things go wrong, don't ask, did I do something wrong? What did I do wrong? That's where 99.9% of us go when it's falling apart. Oh, man. I know, because I prayed a bunch of them. Pastor, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And then I just go right in line with you. I'm just as human as you are. You know, we're right up front, God. You know, thank God for the grace of God. That's so true. You know, I don't know. Let's see if we can tear it out what we did wrong and let it happen. I don't know better than this, dude. Are you kidding me? Hold on. This isn't dude. It's what are you believing wrong?
That's
right. See how sly that little adjustment is. And we call it spiritual. Don't ask what you did wrong, or how far along you are in the process of overcoming something. When it comes to this thing of faith, it's not about do, it's about believe. I'll prove it to you in Scripture. I don't have time today, but we're going to go through a bunch of Scriptures next week. And every instance that Jesus healed somebody, he did not ask them, and you're going to hear me repeat this, about their lifestyle, or how well they kept the law. Or if they've been a good Johnny that day, or Susie, he says, do you believe? I am. Do you believe? They, having heard the word preached, said, yes, I do. And then he said, stretch forth your hand. This is for us today. How many have already forgotten the beginning of the service? He is the same. Come on. If you didn't hear anything else today, come on. Can you go out of here rejoicing? He is the same yesterday. He is the same. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to try to tie this together. The first thing the devil comes to steal is not your health, not your relationships, not your finances.
Listen, I want to stir in you something.
something some of you haven't thought about maybe in a while. This great grace wherein we stand empowers us to believe God for the impossible. Come on, people, are you here today? The Bible puts it very simple. Here is how faith works. We just read it, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We believe, therefore, we speak. And it amazes me how the enemy and all that battles against us, we can embrace truth and hear good messages and agree in our heads. But when it comes to speaking, there's something in some of us that like a 2-year-old in a high chair. Yes, sir. Look me in the eye, Mom. Say, yes, sir. How does faith work? We believe and therefore we speak. When things are trembling down all around us and nothing seems to be going right, the temptation is to begin to speak what you see and not what you believe. Remember, God did not look at darkness that covers the earth and say, oh my goodness, I did not see this coming. This took me off guard. It's dark. Let every light. He commanded light to come out of darkness. How is that? Look at your darkness, your situation, and command the light to come out of
Yes. Amen. Yes, amen.
Open your mouth. It was actually so hard. Really? It's not hard for us to say, when we were in the world, somebody doesn't say, boo, and we go, wow, man. That's so easy. Why? Death has been programmed. Listen to what I'm telling you. Death has been programmed into the world of your mind and into the world of your... You turn that thing over by simply believing. Flipping that around and saying, hold on. It doesn't bother me, so I said that just kills me. Or to me, oh, I just laugh. We were laughing to death. The thing is that I don't think you're going to die because you're saying that we've done it. But what will happen is, if we go with the flow of our society that has programmed death, even into our common conversational vernacular, somewhere as the people of God, we've got to realize, I believe, I'm going to enjoy this, I believe, therefore I speak. My daddy taught me how this thing works. And I'm going to start saying, it's okay if you harp on this for a while. It doesn't work. Stop saying those things over your grave. Stop saying those things over your chamber. God, you are so stupid sometimes. Why is that coming out of your mouth? That's called a curse. Let's bless. Let's declare. Let's turn it around. Let's make a difference. This word works.
Jesus, amen.
And the God who created the universe, when he hears that, the mouth of the believer goes, oh, what did you say? Say that again? I can hook up with that. And when you hook up with that, people,
amen.
That's good stuff. Be careful not to speak what is going on around you in your situation.
speak your contract with God, the Word of God. The promises, for example, Philippians 4:19, most of you can quote it, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say that this works when the politics of America line up with what they should do and there's a betterment in the economy and things are wrong because this is when, in fact, God's most miraculous works of provision happened during time of famine for his people. Watch what you swallow. Stand and believe. Can you say, man, I didn't even get the dinner up this morning, but I'm glad I was fired up and want to see you. I'll end with this. You already heard it a couple weeks ago. Let me put this one last week to it. Two of the 12 signs, Joshua and Caleb said, we can't take this land. God said, they were demonstrated. They saw it, entered it, and tasted of its goodness, for they had said. Not too long after that, it is recorded that the other 10 spies returned with what the Bible calls an evil report. We're not able to take this land. Numbers 14, verses 27 and 28 record, God says, as you have spoken, so it shall be. Don't let this turn into a work. I want to show you next week. This has nothing to do with works. Think about the fact that every miracle he did, from a man getting let down through the roof, to two blind men, to a woman with an issue of blood, over and over and over again, he said, do you believe? Yes, I do. I'm at the end of my rope. I've heard what you said. I believe you're him. For she said, she had said in her heart, if I can but trust the hand of the servant, I know I shall be made whole. She moved from information to revelation. A miracle was a result. And Jesus turned to her and said, daughter, your faith.
Yes.
Has made me whole. Are you excited about this topic? Yes. Are you ready to get this tractor? Yes. Kicked into low gear and get out of the ditch.
Amen.
I believe.
Steps are all at the Lord. Divine appointments. Thank you, Jesus. It's a prophecy and a night. I declare life come out. Life come out. Oh. Rise, let it rise. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
When you pray right now, we believe that we receive them. This ain't a show. This ain't a good.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, have your way, God, bring him in, 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 bring Jesus' name, Jesus' name, open their eyes, open their eyes, open your eyes, open the eyes, God, life. Deliverance, healing in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. By your Spirit, God. By your Spirit, God. Oh, oh, Jesus.
And we can turn this
into
a prayer.
Order in Jesus' name. I believe and speak.